Now, got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And special night tonight. Tonight actually makes our 13th year anniversary on the radio. So 13 years ago, third Sunday in August, we came in for the very first program. And we were at the time hoping we could at least last a year. Thought that would be good. Didn't know what was going to happen. But here, 13 years later, here we are. And excited to be able to still be here with you. And it's been a blessing. It really has been fun over the course of time. Of course, we've added our Friday afternoon program every Friday at 1:30 right here on AM 1220 The Word, in addition to our 11 o'clock program. And we've had the opportunity to be on the air in Florida in the Tampa area, and then of course right here in northeastern Ohio. And we've even been and still are currently on Sunday nights simulcast on AM 1440 WHKZ in the Warren Youngstown area. So it's been nice. It's been a blessing. We've enjoyed it quite a bit. So hope you'll stick with us tonight. I'll give you some more information here, but let's go ahead and start our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for the the medium that you've given us, the ability to be able to be on here tonight, to be able to talk with people and to be able to share your word. We just pray that it help us be a blessing to those that are searching, and that we could point people to Christ. And for believers, and we just ask that you could help us, Lord, to help believers in their walk with you, to walk closer with you. And we just to give you the honor and glory for it. And we thank you for helping us these past 13 years to be able to be here. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us if you're in the area. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. We'll have more information on that at the bottom of the hour during our mid-program break, and also at the end of the program, talk about that some more as well. You can follow us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And in addition to that, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And pray for us. When we talk about that, we're endeavoring to develop a YouTube channel, and so that we can use that. And the last few times here, we've had a lot of problems broadcasting on Facebook Live, but we've been broadcasting on YouTube Live and sharing that over to Facebook, and it seems to be going pretty good. Now, if you're looking for us live right now, it's going to be a few minutes. I've been trying to get my computer to boot up since, I guess about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, something like that. And, you know, they decide to update when they want to. And when you get into some of those updates, it says, don't turn off your computer. Don't do anything. Don't even breathe or everything's going to go wrong. And so you're just kind of stuck there waiting. And we are slowly getting the thing to come online and get it to come up. So I'll keep messing messing with that while we're talking here on the radio. But I did want to share a couple of things, being that tonight's our 13th anniversary on there, on the air. And, you know, when we started this, if you'd have told me 13 years ago, not only that we'd be on the air for all these 13 years, I probably wouldn't have believed it. You know, you say, oh, ye of little faith, that probably would have applied. But the thing that's been the most unusual is that I don't know how it's happened. Well, I know how it's happened. God's enabled it to happen. But despite the weather, despite the difficulties and things that we have, you know, sometimes with the traffic and scheduling and this, that, and the other, despite all of that, I've actually managed to be here in the studio on the air live every single Sunday night for 13 years. You know, it's, I don't know if that says something about my life or what, but every single Sunday night for 13 years, I've been sitting in this studio looking at these microphones and looking, I think the monitors in here have changed over 13 years, and the people behind the glass that run the board and keep us on the air and sounding good have changed a time or two over the years. But what a blessing to be able to be on, and we're just thankful for it. And of course, we're thankful for your prayers. It's the prayers of people who you know, just praying for us. If you don't have anything else that you can do to help out with us being on the air, never discount your prayers. It's the prayers of God's people, I believe, that's kept us on the air all this time. You know, yesterday we went to the D-Day Conneaut, and I mentioned it briefly last Sunday night toward the end of the program, and last Friday I really didn't have a chance to say much about it because we were so busy with our program last Friday. And by the way, I encourage you to listen to the podcast of our program. I had Brandon House on as our guest. He's written a book called Marxianity and put together a video called Sabotage. And the subtitle of Marxianity is How the Evangelical Deep State and Their Useful Idiots Are Merging Marxism and Christianity Through Social Justice, White Privilege, Cultural Marxism, Illegal Immigration, Faith Dialogue, and more. And excellent book. And we're going to have him on again sometime in order to discuss some more things that we didn't quite get to there on Friday. But you can find us our podcast. I wanted to mention, when I get things updated on our website at livewithpastoral.com, you can find past programs there. Also, on the website for the radio station, and that is whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. If you go there and search under the programs and all, you can find podcasts, and you can hear podcasts of our program there as well. And like I said, we're working on getting them set on YouTube. That'll be tied in with our Facebook page as well. So do pray for us as we develop these things. But at the D-Day Conneaut, which is the largest D-Day reenactment in the world, one of the largest World War II reenactments in the world, and we had a opportunity to go up there yesterday, and had about 20,000 people, they believe, came into Conneaut yesterday for the program. And that's a lot of people, especially considering Conneaut's population is only about, I think, about 12,000 or so. And to have that many people come in, that doesn't count the reenactors. There was, I think, about 1,500 plus reenactors, World War II reenactors, and then also vendors and such that were there. And so it made for quite an exciting day. And of course, as they got going, they had the reenactment of the D-Day invasion. So you've got artillery pieces going off. They have German 88 that's firing off, howitzers firing off, tanks firing off their cannons, and of course small arms fire, and a couple of airplanes buzzing across the whole area several times throughout the whole thing, and it gets a bit noisy. My wife said next year she wants to take with her some hearing protection. She says it's too loud for there, but it was quite a bit, and a lot of World War II veterans that were there and Korean War veterans that they had there. And so it was very exciting and a very, very interesting, very fun day. So we appreciate the people that were putting that together. And best of all, it was free. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. It was free. Free parking, free shuttle service to the thing. It'll be next year, same time, about middle of August. You just Google D-Day Conneaut and you'll find it, I'm sure. Well, we're going to get back to a couple of things here as well, and let me give out the phone numbers. We've got a couple of people who have already called in that we're going to get to, hopefully are very slowly, if I get my microphone to keep migrating on me, every time I touch the thing, it wants to rotate away from me. But we are endeavoring to get our broadcast going here for our Facebook thing as well, but I'll let you know as soon as we get that shared over. It's still being stubborn on me, but our telephone number is toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And first up tonight, we've got Daryl calling all the way from Florida tonight. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Al.
Hi. How are you doing? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, no, I'm doing good. Well, first, let me say happy anniversary.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Happy anniversary. And I'm just going to come from the standpoint and get my question out.
All right.
It's coming from the book of Acts. I want to address you about the subject of tongues.
Right,
I don't
right.
know if you ever talked about tongues and when I believe the prophecy, I'm quoting it from memory. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I can't remember the rest of it. I don't have a Bible in front of me. But when it talks about tongues, is it talking about what you hear on most ministries now when with the hookah, mashandala, elala, babashita?
No. That's my answer there.
Different languages. What do you have to say, Pastor?
Right. It's not what you hear when, you know, it's like Alibaba, Ketchababa type stuff. You know, it's not that. What it is, and the first instance you see of Christians speaking in tongues is in Acts chapter 2. And we learn a lot from it. In Acts chapter 2, remember the disciples on the day of Pentecost, Jesus had told them that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so as they were there waiting, in Acts chapter 2, it says, and I'll start in verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, two things in that verse right there, verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? Actually, three things. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Third thing is they spoke with other tongues. The word tongues there is the same word translated elsewhere as languages. So this is what we're talking about here, languages. You know, the English tongue, the Spanish tongue, the Russian tongue, the Chinese tongue. Those are languages, synonymous with languages. And we know that's true because as you continue on here, and then, of course, it's as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so everything that transpired came because the Holy Spirit of God chose to do this. And as the Spirit of God chose to do this, they went out, the Bible says in verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And with when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And that's why we know when it says tongues, we're talking about languages. Because he says it right there. The people hear these men speaking, and they said they're speaking in our languages. Now, when it talks about people who were there out of every nation, remember, these are the feast days in the holy days there in Jerusalem. And there were people there that had come to Jerusalem from all over the known world. And many, most of these people were Jews or proselytes of the Jews, but they were living in a variety of places. And it even names some of the places. And so they had their language from where they grew up. Just like somebody who's Jewish, who lives here in America, grows up in America, grows up speaking English. Somebody who's Jewish that grows up in, say, Argentina, grows up speaking Spanish. Somebody that's Jewish that grows up in Russia grows up speaking Russian. So, but even though they're all Jewish, right. So he says here when in verse 6, or I'm sorry, verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So they said, hey, these people speaking in our languages, these are Galileans. They're from this little backwater province north of Jerusalem. And he says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So again, tongue synonymous with language. As these Galileans, the disciples, spoke, these people heard them speaking in their languages. And here's a list of languages that were heard. It says, how hear we every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And yeah, so the very, very first instance of believers, Christians, speaking in tongues here in Jerusalem was they went out amongst these Jews from all over the world who were there for the Jewish feast days, and they are speaking in their languages, the languages from the countries in which they grew up. So, you know, this is not some kind of language that nobody can understand. This is languages, known languages, and this is the first case. Say, well, okay, well, later on, that's when that came. Didn't the Bible talk about speaking with words that cannot be uttered? Well, yeah, the Holy Spirit does intercede with us in words that cannot be uttered, but here's the key phrase there. Cannot be uttered. So that's not speaking in tongues, because tongues are things that are uttered. It's talking about a silent speaking, the Holy Spirit taking the needs and the concerns directly from our heart to the heart of God.
Groanings.
Groanings, which cannot be uttered.
I don't mean over.
No, go ahead.
I've talked to you so long, but it's like what it says in unknown tongues, perhaps is it talking about they heard people speaking in Japanese, they heard people speaking in Korean, they heard people speaking in Filipino.
Yeah, wherever they were from, that's what they heard.
Navajo, and nations they never knew about, like the Navajo, the Sioux, Aztec, the Incas. What are those tongues? Where are these people? They spoke in unknown tongues.
Yeah, well, like I said, they're in Acts chapter 2. These were known tongues, but when you get into the unknown tongues, you know, of course, some of those languages wouldn't have been known at that time because they hadn't developed yet. But in the case of the development of the speaking in tongues, I was going to move forward here to when Peter was preaching, and I want to go to where he went to Cornelius, and I apologize. I've just turned past the chapter here, and you know sometimes you get turned around and you go to the wrong place. We've got Peter There we are, chapter 10. I was looking in the wrong chapter. It helps when you get in the right chapter. Remember in chapter Acts chapter 10, it starts out, there was a certain man in Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Yeah, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, this guy apparently was Italian. He wasn't Jewish. He would be, I guess you could call him, in a sense, a prophet. Proselyte, although he had not become Jewish from the what's discussed here, but he did believe in God, and he was trying to worship him, and he gets a vision. An angel of God appears to him, tells him to send some servants to Joppa, and basically what happens is Peter is there, and Peter has the vision. You know, he's hungry, he's sleeping, and the net comes down with all these different animals. He's told to rise, kill, and eat. And he says, hey, I can't do that. There's unclean animals in there, and God says, what I call clean, don't call unclean. And then it happens three times, and Peter gets up, and there's, lo and behold, there's three Gentiles waiting to want to take him to Caesarea, to Cornelius. And so they go there, and when they get there, it says in verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down his feet and worshiped him, that Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And Peter understood, you don't worship anybody but God. You don't worship man. You only worship God. And so he stood up, and he says, he talked with him. He went in, found that there were many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know, this is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent me. And of course, you know, Cornelius rehearses how the angel told him to send, and Peter begins to preach, and he begins preaching. Now, keep in mind, at this point, the Jewish people were reluctant to share the gospel with the Gentiles. They kind of thought the gospel was only for the Jews. Yeah, and by this time, the exception, of course, of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, mostly, and some Samaritans, but mostly we've seen the gospel being propagated among the Jews, even though Jesus has said you're to go into all the world, starting at Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. So what happened here is God sending Peter here, because the gospel is supposed to go to the Gentiles, to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so he preaches the gospel to them. And the Bible says in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. This is the Jewish believers, as many as came with Peter, because that, and here's the key, on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as us, or as well as we? And so what this was here, this in Acts chapter 2, the speaking in tongues was assigned to the other Jews that were not yet believers. Mm-hmm. In Acts chapter 10, the speaking in tongues were for a sign to Jews who were reluctant to believe the gospel was for the Gentiles. See the common theme here? Jews that are reluctant to believe certain things. And
let me ask you this, and because I know you got a lot of other people who want other questions.
Yeah, and we're coming up on our break, too. So
I know, and that leads me into my other question about salvation, because there are a lot of ministries that teach that, yeah, you can be saved, but you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues.
Well, the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the fact that you're saved, because when we're immersed in Christ and all, we're immersed in God and we're immersed in the Holy Spirit, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit the moment that you get saved. In fact, over in Romans, Paul says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. You're none of his. You don't belong to him. So you cannot be saved and not have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, filling of the Holy Spirit's a little bit different. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in him, but we kind of restrict him to certain areas of our life. But when it comes to speaking in tongues, there's nothing in the Bible that says that that is the sole evidence of being filled or being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, receiving the gift of tongues is one of several spiritual gifts that are given to us in the Bible, and there's other spiritual gifts. And if you're saved, God will give you spiritual gifts as he sees fit. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to develop this before we run out of time here in this half hour, but tongues is actually one of the lesser gifts that are listed. In fact, go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he starts out, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And he says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man a prophet with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." And these are all different spiritual gifts. Not everybody gets one of them. In fact, he says in verse 11, "But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So what spiritual gift we get is the one that God wants us to have, not the one that we beg God for. And there's nothing in that list that makes tongues the number one on the list. In fact, in chapter 14, tongues begins to be restricted in its operation within the church, where he says in chapter 14, verse 27, "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God." So he's saying the most that can speak in a church as of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27, the moment that God gave Paul this to write down, that says that if you're going to speak in tongues in the church, and I know we're coming up on the break, one person could speak if there's an interpreter. If there's no interpreter, he's supposed to not say anything. At most, two or three people can speak. And if there's been three, no fourth person.
So, could you hold me over?
But appreciate that, Daryl, fading out on me there. We're out of time on this half hour. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open at toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here. Also, a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can see us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. There's links to our home church there, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly, that's our main sponsor of the program, is the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. You just heard some of that information. Be more at the end of the program. Click on our website. You can link to that as well and learn more about our church. Also, we're brought to you tonight by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza, and they're located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. That's 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. And want to thank them for their sponsorship there as well. You can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al. If you've never been there before, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. And we're going to get back to our program here. And I had started to mention earlier, I believe, when we went out to the D-Day Conneaut thing Saturday, and a warm day, but a beautiful day, and got something to eat. And I don't think I mentioned, my wife had gotten a pulled pork sandwich, barbecue sandwich, and I had gotten a Slovakian, I think it was, a sausage sandwich from this other place that was there. And then I took the both sandwiches back while she went to get us some fries from another vendor, and I sat down at this table, and I hear, "Hello, Pastor Al," and there was a guy that listens and follows us on Facebook. So, Gary, if you're still listening, thanks for saying something there. It's kind of nice. Out of 20,000 people sat down to eat right next to one of our listeners. So that was kind of encouraging. So I had a lot of fun with that. But anyway, getting back to our program here tonight, I was talking with Daryl before we went into the break, and the caller that's on hold we'll get to here shortly as well. But I wanted to continue up a little bit with Daryl because we ran out of time. We were talking about tongues in the New Testament and for Christians, and we really ran out of time as I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Daryl, are you still with us here?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so we got to the point in 1 Corinthians, and we saw in chapter 12 where spiritual gifts, of which tongues was one, but not the only one or the chief one, were given to believers when they got saved, at the discretion of the Holy Spirit. It's not one of these ones. I've actually read books. Had somebody was trying to tell me I should speak in tongues, and they recommend a book that literally said, in order to speak in tongues, just start repeating a tongue twister over and over until your tongue gets twisted around, and there you are. You've primed the pump, and now you're speaking in the spiritual gift of tongues. And it's just, it's a tongue twister.
Try to put their fingers in your mouth and make you. They did that for me, and I always pray to this day that they wash their hands when they do that.
Okay. Well, yeah. And you know, it's the whole thing. And let me touch on that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because where he said there, and I just want to hit those two, just a couple things real quick here. When it said there in verse number 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all," meaning for the profit of the whole church, "and for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." Then he goes through various spiritual gifts, and he says it's given by the Spirit. One gets one, another gets another. They don't all get all things. There's nothing in the text that says all of them have to have tongues, or that nobody can serve God fully unless they get tongues. Tongues is down at the end of the list as one of them. We saw its operation on the day of Pentecost, and now it's being restricted in its use in the churches. And there's good reason to believe, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that tongues would cease because they simply would not be needed in the way that they are now. Now, let me phrase something there. If there were a case, and I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and you know, people say, "Oh, you guys don't believe in the Holy Spirit." Well, I don't know where they get that from. I preach about the Holy Spirit every time I come across them in the Bible, which is frequent. And so I certainly believe in the Holy Spirit. And I've heard of fundamental Baptists that have been in situations where they felt impressed to witness to somebody, and on a one-on-one situation, and that person has later said, I think of two instances, one involving some people who had recently immigrated from Poland, another case, I think it was a lady from China, and in both cases, the people could not speak Polish. They could not speak Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, whatever it was, the particular Chinese language. And they felt impressed to share the gospel with this individual or these individuals. And later on, when somebody came who could speak those languages, they said in both cases that the people were impressed that these people that they never met before spoke to them in perfect Polish or perfect Mandarin Chinese. They heard the things of God in their own language. That's very similar to Acts chapter 2, except it was just one or two people in that case, and it was an unusual circumstance where God did something unusual. But speaking like yabba dabba do and all of that, that's not biblical.
Okay, but Pastor, I'm gonna let you go. But before I let you go, I would like to encourage all of the saints in Ohio and those in your listening audience to pray for us in Florida. The news reports have reported that in the county of Volusia, that's if you know where Daytona Beach is,
right,
somewhere below Jacksonville, that it was a young man who called his girlfriend and said he was fascinated by all these mass shootings, and he had a thought of getting a gun and wanted to shoot a lot of people. And, well, the girlfriend called law enforcement, and they went, and arrested him or whatever, but he did not have any guns or anything. You know, they have to take these calls very seriously.
Oh, yes.
And I just wanted to ask you guys to remember us in your prayers.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, Daryl. And before you go, and having mentioned that, let me just mention something along with that. You know, the one thing that all of these mass shootings has had in common, and it's a similar thing that not just mass shootings, but mass stabbings and place in situations where people have run down people with vehicles and all that. The big thing that's in common is mental illness, which a lot of times we know is either exacerbated or caused directly by demonic influences. And so it's a spiritual battle. And, you know, we need to, you know, preach the word, don't we? We need to reach people with the gospel, see people saved. That's going to do a lot more than taking away guns from people, because you take away guns from somebody that's demonically influenced and or mentally imbalanced, well, then they get into a car, or they grab a knife, or they set out a pressure cooker full of explosives, you know, any number of things they do.
Okay, so, I'll call you some other time, Pastor Earl, and God bless you. Thank you for answering my question.
Appreciate that, Daryl. Thank you so much for calling.
I found any purple dinosaurs with donuts, but I'll call you if I can see some. Okay,
I appreciate bye-bye. That. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And thanks to our caller, Daryl, there. And, well, we've had a number of people calling in, and we're going to try and get through some callers here. And they kept on with Daryl a little bit more there. And, again, I want to remind people, if you're curious about this section with tongues in 1 Corinthians, do a study. Read carefully 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. And chapter 14, before I jump to the next call, let me just reinforce that in verse 27. Writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says very clearly that if any man speak, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, which means taking turns. It didn't say two, or at most by three dozen, or hundred, or thousand. That's one, two, three. If you're ever in a service where there's dozens of people speaking in tongues, this is a violation, direct violation of 1 Corinthians 14, 27, chapter and verse. There's the words. And if they're speaking at the same time, if it's just two people speaking at the same time, three people speaking at the same time, they're not taking turns. It's not by course. That's a direct violation of the word of God. If nobody interprets what they're saying, that's a direct violation of the word of God. Now, I didn't write it. This is what the Holy Spirit said. I think the Holy Spirit knows what he's meaning here and understands, because, hey, there's false spirits in the world. I knew a pastor in Indiana, and he had somebody who assured him that when they spoke in tongues, it was this Holy Spirit of God speaking through them. And when they spoke in, they challenged it, and they had it on tape where the spirit, when asked to reveal what it was a false spirit blaspheming God in a foreign language. Hey, you know, these things happen. I'm not saying everybody speaks in tongues is demonically deceived, but some people, like one case that I read where the guy said, no, you don't have to test me. I'm just faking it to go along with everybody. So, but here, I'm just going to what the Bible says. If any man speak an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. If it goes contrary to this, it's contrary to Scripture. I really do believe that tongues are not for today, because we have the completed Word of God, and that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, where it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. This is special knowledge. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And we have the Bible. I believe that's what's perfect that's come. People may disagree with that. Even if you disagree with that and think tongues are for today, you still come up against 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27. And I've been in some tongue-speaking services. First one I ever was in, there was a woman that led it off, and there must have been probably 200 or 300 people all at one time speaking in some kind of gibberish, and nobody interpreted. That's completely contrary, completely in violation of the Word of God given to us by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Terry's been waiting for a while, and Terry, welcome to the program tonight. Hi, do we have Terry? Terry, are you there? Is Terry Hello? There? Okay.
Yes, hello?
Hey, there you are, Terry. Welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Hi, sorry to keep you waiting. We had a kind of a hot topic there, and Daryl hasn't been with us for a while, and he's been with us since our days when we were on the air down in Tampa, Florida. Hopefully one day we'll get back on the air down there. But, and of course, you've been with us for a while from Canada.
Yeah, for about 3 years now, I think.
Yeah, so it was good to hear from him. So how are you doing?
I really enjoy the program. I'm really glad that I got, you know, my friend introduced me to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
I praise the Lord for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doing good. That was a really interesting subject. I've always had a little bit of a problem with that. People walking around talking both tongues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last church I went to, I left because that was one of the reasons why I left that church. Cause
yeah.
People speaking in tongues, like walking around in circle and talking in tongues.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to emphasize that thing, even if you disagree that 1 Corinthians 13, if you disagree with saying that means tongues were to cease, we don't need them today because we have the completed word of God. Even if you disagree with that, it still has to be followed by the clear rule that's given in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27 and 28. There's more to it there. I just mostly concentrate on verse 27, where there has to be, one, two, at most three, taking turns. Somebody has to interpret. If there's no interpreter there, to keep silent. And
since we're on that topic, I was going to bring up the Mormons again, but I think I'll leave them alone for tonight. Like,
uh-huh.
Not much time left. But I had a question.
Yes, sir.
Peter, when Peter said that repent and be baptized, every one of you,
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
In Acts chapter 2.
Oh, sorry. He says, repent and be baptized. Yeah, repent and be baptized. What did, like, a lot of people take that as being baptized by water, and I take it as being baptized by the Spirit.
Well, when we trust Christ as our Savior, obviously we are baptized in the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, but he is talking about water baptism there, but it's not saying that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. You know, and the example the way I explain a lot of times is when it says here, and that's in, and he had just preached the gospel to him in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and verse 37, they had said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then in verse 38, Peter answers, he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When he says, be baptized, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, a lot of people right away say, well, that says you got to be baptized in order to have your sins remitted or forgiven. And that's not what it's saying. You know, you watch an old Western, that's the example I use, the old Westerns where Jesse James wanted for bank robbery. They weren't hiring him to rob banks. They wanted him because he'd already robbed banks.
Yeah.
It's as simple as can be. When I was a kid, the post office here in Richfield, Ohio, where I grew up, I used to like to ride my bike home from school, and sometimes I'd stop in the post office because I like to look at the FBI's most wanted. They had these posters in there when I was a kid. I don't know when they stopped doing that, but they used to have these posters in there. And you'd see all these people wanted for armed robbery, wanted for murder, wanted for grand theft auto, you know, things like that. They weren't hiring these people. They weren't looking to hire people to do these things. They wanted them because they already did those things. And when you understand that, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter was saying to be baptized because, in the name of Jesus Christ, because you've received the remission of sins, not in order to get the remission of sins. And that's also brought out in, I believe it's Acts chapter 22. Let me turn over there real quick. In Acts chapter 22, where he's recounting his conversion when Ananias had come to him. Remember, he had met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he had been struck blind until Ananias came and prayed over him. And he's saying, this is what was told in verse Acts 22, verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And the people, the same people who say that in Acts 2, it says to be baptized in order to receive the remission of sins, not not because you've already received the remission of sins. They say that this one right here says, be baptized and wash away thy sins. It says baptism is washing away your sins, but it doesn't say that. The grammar here, I'll read it with the punctuation. It says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, comma, and be baptized, comma, and wash away thy sins, comma, calling on the name of the Lord. So when he asked the question, why tarriest thou, he tells several things that they should do. First one, do something. Get up. Don't just sit there. Arise. The next item that he tells them they need to do is to be baptized. The next item that he tells them to do is to have their sin, is to wash away their sins, comma, calling on the name of the Lord, and wash away thy sins, comma, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord modifies the statement, wash away thy sins. So how are our sins washed away? Not by being baptized, but by calling on the name of the Lord. Now, obviously, it's not a strict chronological presentation of it here, because we hear the gospel, we get up, we act on it, and we call upon the name of the Lord so that our sins are now washed away by the blood of Christ, and then we're baptized. But, you know, when you read in the scriptures, it doesn't always follow that chronological passage. But regardless of that, calling on the name of the Lord is how we wash away our sins, according to the grammar here, not by being baptized. So, you know, that...
There's a lot of people... I was talking to you about Oneness Pentecostal before.
Uh-huh.
And the Oneness Pentecostals say that if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, which they believe the name of Jesus is the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
you're not baptized.
Yeah, I mean, when I baptize somebody, I baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because one God manifests in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Just like I'm talking to you, Terry, but you're one man, but you have a body, a soul, and a spirit, but you're one man.
And the Oneness Pentecostals don't believe in Trinity.
No. Well, again, it's a false teaching that arose because man had difficulty believing and understanding something that's in the Scripture, and so rather than try to figure it out, they come up with a doctrine that makes sense to them.
There was a man that I had, like, I considered him to be a really good friend, but when I came out of the Jehovah's Witness, I never joined the Jehovah's Witness, and I almost became a Jehovah's Witness. I went to this guy, and this guy, you might just say that he was baptized. He taught and baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But the one thing that he did though is that he renounced everything that people tried to teach him. And he said, Father, I'm going to read your Bible and read the Word, and whatever you show me, I'll do, and what I don't understand, I'll wait until you teach me. I believe that was a big mistake that he made on his part. Because we need each other.
Yeah, well, and we do. I mean, remember the Ethiopian eunuch, how can I know except some man show me? Hey, Terry, I'm going to have to cut you short here because we've got about just a little over 2 minutes left in the program. I still got a couple callers I at least want to touch base with real quick here. But thank you for calling tonight, Terry. Appreciate that. And let's jump over to Doug here real quick. And Doug, welcome to the program here tonight. Do we have Doug? Do we have Doug still? Hi, Doug, are you still there?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. We're running out of time real quick, probably about 2 minutes.
Okay, that's okay. All I got to say is that's how we understand why you got different men's religions, because, you know, they use the King James Bible to fit their own different belief systems. That's the reason, and it's sad.
Yeah, well, and that's why we have to try to go to the Bible and let the Bible tell us what to believe rather than to dig into the Bible to try and find something to justify what we want to believe.
Amen.
Yeah, so I appreciate that for bringing that out, Doug. I'm sorry I can't spend as much time with you here tonight, but I hope you'll call us back again.
Amen.
So, amen. Well, thank you for that. And we'll jump over. We've got one more caller here. We got Nancy waiting patiently as well. Welcome to the program, Nancy.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi.
This quick. I really enjoyed your speaker. You had Brendan House on Friday.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, did he make up those terms, Marxianity and communitarianism?
I believe he coined the term Marxianity, and probably got about 30 seconds here, and that's the marriage of Marxism or communism and Christianity, Marxianity, and the communitarianism or communitarianism is a variation on socialism to try and suck in people who aren't quite ready to become full-fledged communists yet. But it's a term, I don't think he invented that term. But we're going to get him back on the radio again sometime.
He was fascinating.
Yeah, so it was. It was very fascinating. That's what I said.
Go to his website, debitmovie.com.
Hey, thanks, Nancy. Thank we're out of time. And okay. God bless. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for listening tonight.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.